I think this topic is something that especially everyone can work on. This is an area in which the scriptures say that nobody's perfect in, and that I think is something that we can work on every day, and we'll never reach the point to where, you know, our speech is perfect, to where what we say is the perfect thing to say every time, or the most appropriate thing to say every time. That says season your speech. I've got it in purple. I tried different colors and none of them look good, and purple don't look either. But anyhow, it says season your speech. I got a prompt from Amarillo to speak there of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 25. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What I want to do this afternoon is to study this scripture specifically and go in and look at the different parts of this verse. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but it says instead that which is good to the use of edifying. You know, I got to thinking about some examples I could use, and I found a story on the internet that I thought fit, you know, well. We often find ourselves, you know, putting our foot in our mouth because we say something, you know, without all the facts, or we say something that, you know, we're trying to be nice, but we didn't really pay well attention. You know, sometimes we say things just to be rude. I think we can all relate to saying something that wasn't very appropriate. And the story I read on the internet was this lady and her acquaintance. She doesn't see this woman often, you know, a couple times a year. And she sees this lady at the supermarket, and she's got a baby with her. And she says, well, she talks to her for a minute, and she says, well, it's nice to see you've lost a little bit of your pregnancy weight. And the woman says, well, thanks. And as she wheels off, she thinks, well, I adopted, so, you know. And, you know, you try to be nice sometimes. You say things that maybe hurt people's feelings. I think it's something we can all work on, as I've said already. I told Mom I wouldn't use this example, but I'm going to anyways. Maybe this is somewhere I can work on, you know. And I say things to her for a reason. You make one comment about one gray hair, and, you know, you just get in trouble. And then I realized why I say things like that this morning when she asked if I was wearing skinny jeans. I said, all my jeans are skinny jeans now. So you get my point. All joking aside, our speech is very important. What we say, you know, it might mean a lot more to the person that you're saying it to than it does to you. And we don't think that very often. We can read a bunch of scriptures in Proverbs. We're not going to read nearly as many as we can. But in Proverbs chapter 21, it says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Earlier in Proverbs chapter 13, it says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You know, the scriptures have important things to say about how much we open our mouth, how much we speak, thinking before we speak. It's very important. In Proverbs chapter 15, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. You think about that the next time you've been running your mouth or talking a lot. You know, the scriptures plainly say that if you keep your mouth shut, you know, you're considered to be wise. That's a wise thing to do. You know, and I realize sometimes things need to be said, and we'll talk about that later on in the lesson. You know, just, I think it was yesterday, we were sitting there eating lunch, and Alexis was tapping her foot, and it was hitting my chair. And while nobody around me knew it, my anger level was just reaching the max, you know, and it wasn't a big deal. And finally I said, can you stop it? And she said, well, you could have just said it. And I thought, you know, you're probably right. But in here, you know, sometimes in your mind, you know, you're getting more stressed out than the situation really is or the situation really seems. But you think about how a soft answer will turn away wrath. You know, sometimes if you're ready to fight and you go to chewing on somebody and they just softly answer back to you, you know, it's hard to stay mad. It's hard to keep your level of anger. So I ask you this question. What would happen if you lived your whole life and strictly followed just these few answers or just these few examples. You know, if you had a soft answer every time someone was angry with you, if you had a soft answer every time someone was ready to fight with you, what if you guard your tongue like it talks about there in Proverbs? It says, one who guards his tongue guards his soul. Really, think about that. From the time whenever you're a child, what if every time you see mom and dad start to argue, they answer with a soft tone? They don't yell at each other. That's what you're going to grow up being around. That's what you're going to grow up being used to. And you know what? Whenever you get older and you start having arguments, you're probably not going to be yelling at each other. Every time someone gets mad, you're not going to be screaming at them. A soft answer turneth away wrath. It says that someone who guards their tongue guards their soul. It talks about opening your lips being opening your lips to destruction. So I can ask you the exact opposite. What if you lived your whole life and you strictly ignored these examples? Just these few examples. Forget about the rest of them they talk about there in Proverbs. Just these few. If every time someone offends you or every time someone says something you don't like, you chew on them. You yell at them. You're ready to fight verbally every time. What if you keep your mouth open? And as it said there in Proverbs, I believe chapter 13, open lips and open mouth leads to destruction. Think about now you're the child and you see mom and dad get angry at each other and they just start yelling. They start fighting. They're going at it. That's what you're going to grow up being used to. Think about the effect that would have on a person's life. Think about the destruction that it could cause in their life. If in any situation they were ready to fight. As I said before, your speech is important, and I think James chapter 3 paints a good picture for that. We'll read on through verse number 6 there. It says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in the word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. It says there in verse number two, if any man offend not in the word, the same as a perfect man. He says, if you don't ever mess up what you're saying whenever you're talking, if you can tame your tongue perfectly, you're a perfect man. I think we all know that nobody's going to be perfect. We're going to mess up. You're going to say things you didn't mean to say. You're going to get angry and you're going to say some things you wish you hadn't have. Or you're going to snap at somebody and wish you hadn't have, but it's going to happen. He talks about how strong the tongue is, how strong the words can be. He says he likens it unto a ship. Talks about how it's controlled by such a small thing when we ourselves are controlled by just the tongue, just the words that we say, how small that is, yet it controls us. Yet it makes up the environment that's around us. A soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft answer controls the environment that you're in. The same way that a harsh answer or a harsh response will control the environment that you're in. It'll make things tense. It'll make them unpleasant. But a soft answer turns away wrath. And someone who can control their tongue can control their whole body. I think something important also to know is that your speech comes from the heart. Your speech is something it's not a mindless part of your body that just says things that you can't work at and control. It's the same as anything else. It's something you got to work at. It's something that you got to strive every day and focus on the way you react to things, the way you say things, thinking about things before you talk. It takes time. But the speech comes from the heart. In Matthew chapter 15 it says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. I gave a lesson here, it's probably been a year ago, and it talks about how the heart above all things is deceiving. The heart above all things is tricky. It makes you believe things that aren't really true. And the heart is what controls the tongue. The heart is what makes you say the things you say. You know, and it, what it does is it deceives you. It makes you think things that aren't really true. That's why we say things that we don't always mean. That's why we say things before we think. You know, the heart's ready to act. The heart's where our pride's at. It's where we get angry from. And that's why we say things so quickly. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34, it says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak thereof, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Our words carry a great amount of weight. It says there that out of our heart, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? And we're going to talk about that some more in just a moment as well. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You know, we a lot of times speak what's on our mind. We a lot of times say the things that are going on in our mind, that are going on in our heart. We say the things that we think. We know whether they be good or whether they be bad. You know, we find somebody to tell them to. And I think that's something that we need to work on, something that we need to focus on, you know, saying the right thing, seasoning our speech with salt. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43 says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now this scripture here in Matthew doesn't necessarily talk about the things that you say, but I think it goes back to the heart. It goes back to what the heart wants you to say, what the heart is feeling. It says there in 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That reminds me a lot of the tongue. You know, in Proverbs it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. But our heart, whenever someone gets mad at you, whenever someone says something that makes you angry, your response is, you know, is the humanly logical answer to love your enemy and hate your, or to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Your natural response is, someone yells at me, I'm going to yell back. Someone gets mad at me, I'm just going to get mad back. That's what's natural. But instead, you know, Jesus says to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. And I think that if we're supposed to love our enemies, then why can we not say something kind to our loved ones? Why can we not say something kind to our family members? If we're to love our enemies, can we not at least say something kind to those around us, to those we go to church with, to our kids, to our spouse? We should at least be able, you know, to be kind, to guard our tongue around them, you would think. And that's the least we can do. Now, the first part of that scripture a while ago, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. That reminds me of a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that says, be not deceived, evil communications or evil relationships corrupt good manners. And this makes me think that the things that go into our heart are the things that we're going to bring out of our heart. The things that you hear are probably the things you're going to repeat and the things that you're going to say. You know, if we're constantly surrounding ourselves with people that talk filthily, that talk and say things that aren't true, that are vulgar, then those are probably the things we're going to think. Those are the things the heart are going to think, and those are the things that our tongue is going to say. And I illustrate this again in Galatians chapter 6. It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is something that's going to take time to season your speech. It's something that's going to take time to work on it. If you're sowing corruption, you're going to reap corruption. If you're listening to people that talk filthy language, that say vulgar things, those are the things you're going to say. Those are the things you're going to think. That's what's going to be second nature to your tongue. But if you're listening to those that sow the Spirit, that you're going to reap the Spirit as well. Matthew chapter 23, going on there through verse number 28, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." You know, we can control what we say, you know, to a certain extent, for sure. And I think it goes to show that just because we can put on a good face, just because we can say a few nice things, doesn't necessarily reflect, you know, what we put into our minds, what we put into our hearts. You know, it talks about the scribes and Pharisees here, and it talks about a whited sepulcher. You know, you think about going to a cemetery, and you look at the headstones are usually covered with flowers. The grass is usually well kept around them. You know, they look nice. They really do. But inside, it's full of dead bones. It's full of a dead body. That's what's inside there. And that's what we do sometimes with our speech. You know, we can muster up enough strength to say nice things and to ask how people are doing on Sunday. But the rest of the week, we might be, you know, awful to deal with. We might be just rude and horrible with our words. And I think that's something we need to guard against. In Proverbs, again, it says, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of wicked poureth out evil things." I think that's just another good example. I encourage you to go read Proverbs on your own sometime. There's just a lot in Proverbs about the tongue. There's a lot in Proverbs that really paints an awful picture about the tongue and how we need to control it. Again, in Matthew 15, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but what cometh out of the man that defiles a man." You think about that for a minute. What you say is how you're known. The things that you say are what people remember about you. You know, whether you come away with a soft answer, whether you come away with a bad attitude, with harsh words, that's what people remember whenever you talk to them. It's the way you treat them. And that's the part of the corruption that we read about there in Ephesians chapter 4. "Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth." And I think the main reason for that, or one of the main reasons, is talked about in Matthew chapter 5. Your speech not only influences you, it not only, you know, affects the people around you, your family, your friends, but it affects the church. It really does. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, I talk about this because we're just about to, in a moment, to talk about seasoning your speech. And you think about this verse here. The place where Jesus says his church is. He said his church is on a hill. It can't be hidden. You can't cover it up. People are going to see it. People are going to see what you do. And specifically, they're going to hear what you say. The things we say reflect the church. They reflect Christ's kingdom. And if we're speaking of corruption of those verses we just read, then it's going to reflect onto the church as corruption. But if we speak righteously, it's going to reflect on the church in a righteous manner. So I ask you once again, what if you live your whole life and speak corruption? What if every time someone comes to you with something that makes you angry, you answer with a wrathful answer? Think about the harm that that would cause to the people around you. Do you know anybody who always answers in a perfect way? You know, I don't know anybody who always answers in a perfect way, but I think we can all think of somebody who has a kind heart, who just doesn't hardly think of somebody who doesn't hardly talk about people in a rude way. You know, you think about your reputation. What's your reputation with people that don't like you? It's probably not real good. With people that you get in fights with people that you bump heads with, what's your reputation with them? It's probably not very good. What's your reputation in the church if you are constantly running your mouth, if you're constantly saying things that are inappropriate, things that don't need to be said? What's your reputation like? What does that reflect on the church? If you speak of corruption, it's going to reflect in a corrupt way. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth," but it says, that everything you say needs to be towards edification. Everything you say needs to be something that can be put to use. Everything you say needs to be something that can build someone up, something that can be good for edifying. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." You know, earlier in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about how there's one body, one Lord, one Savior, one baptism. And then later he talks about edifying. I think we're edifying if we're all on the same page, if we're all of one mindset. I think it's important here in Ephesians, they talk about these different, and for lack of a better term at the moment, jobs that people have. These different jobs that people have. Some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are pastors, some are teachers, some do different things. But there's one thing that everybody has a duty to do, and that's to control their own tongue. There's one thing that everybody can do, and that's to have a soft answer. You know, you don't have to have a specific job to come away with a soft answer. You don't have to have a specific job to say kind things to people. In Ephesians, I believe it tells us that's what something everybody needs to do. We work together for the edifying of the body of Christ, and that's something where our speech is very important. Later on, a few verses later in verse 16, "From the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Here's a cool verse. I've always liked this verse a lot. In Psalms chapter 91, it says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Think about telling the truth for a moment. You know, we've talked about our speech a lot. We've talked about the effect that our speech can have on people and does have on the environment around us. Think about the effect that the truth has on people. You know, the truth's not always fun. You know, the truth's not always what we like to hear, but the truth is the thing that we need to hear, is it not? You know, it says that the truth, that Jesus' truth is thy shield and buckler. The truth that Jesus Christ tells us is what protects us. I give the same examples I've given earlier multiple times. You think about a child who grows up hearing nothing but lies. What is he going to talk like whenever he's older? You think he's going to tell the truth? Probably not. You think he's going to be able to believe people? Probably not. But someone who grows up hearing the truth, specifically the truth of the scriptures, that's going to have a big effect on people. Again, in Proverbs chapter 16, it says, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." You know, have you ever walked away from a conversation angry at someone when they walk up to you and say something nice? When they're genuine and they walk up and they compliment you and they just are very nice and have a warm spirit? It's hard to be angry when you leave someone who's got a good attitude like that, isn't it? Proverbs said that pleasant words are sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Think just a moment about someone who has unhealthy bones. You know, if someone's got unhealthy bones, they probably hurt a lot, don't they? Someone with unhealthy bones, the rest of them's probably not very healthy, don't you think? The bones are the building blocks of our body. And if the bones aren't healthy, then the rest of you's not healthy. But the Bible says that pleasant words are health to the bones. Pleasant words can make even those people who are in the most pain feel better. Pleasant words are sweet. They're seasoning your speech, which is what I want to talk about for the remainder of our lesson. Seasoning your speech. In Colossians chapter 4, read this verse. It says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." I think if you want to sum up this lesson, I think this is probably how you do it with Colossians 4 and 6. Season your speech with salt, that you might know how to answer every man. That you may know how to answer, that you might know the right thing to say, that you will know not only when to talk, but what to say when you talk. You know, have you had to have a difficult conversation with somebody before? I think we all have. I think we've had to tell people things that we didn't want to talk to them about, that we didn't want to confront them about or say to them. But you know, if your speech is seasoned, if you think about what you're going to say, if you concentrate on that when you go to tell someone and have an inconvenient conversation with somebody or an unpleasant conversation, it's going to make things a lot easier, isn't it? You know, when Alexis was just ramming the side of my chair with her foot, if I would have said, "Hey, Alexis, could you please stop that?" She would have said, "Yes, I will," and it would have been over. But instead, I was already ready to fight. But a seasoned answer, an answer that isn't wrathful, it's hard to be angry. You know, if you're going to have a conversation with somebody and confront them about something that's wrong in their life or something you think they need to change, you know, if you walk up to them and say, "You know, you're really messing up and you've got a bad problem and here it is, A, B, C, D," then they're probably not going to respond very well. And I think we all understand that. But if you go up to them and you say, "Look, I respect you, I love you, and I want the best for you, and I've noticed something," and you tell them what you believe is going on, then they're probably going to come away with a lot better response. You know, it says a soft answer turneth away wrath in Proverbs, but you think about if you start off with something soft, what's going to happen? You know, if you start off with something soft, it's likely not going to, you know, turn out to be a wrathful situation anyways. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 39, it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you." This is the main point I'd like to make to you this afternoon, that we need to replace our corrupt speaking. We need to replace our wrathful answer with something that's more righteous. We need to replace with something that's better. So how to season your speech? I've just got a couple things to say there. I'm going to look at a few verses, some of them that we've already read in closing this afternoon, on how to season your speech. I think we need to clean the filth out before you start replacing, you know, your speech with edifying words, with things that are going to help people out. You need to clean out the bad things. You need to clean out the corruption, the dead men's bones that we talked about. Those need to be cleaned out from the way that you talk. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, this is talking about becoming a child of God. And I realize that, but I think that the application applies in the exact same way. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." You know, whenever you, before you're baptized, it says, talks about putting away the old man. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Whenever you speak like a Christian, when you talk like a Christian, the corruption, the wrathful answers, the quick to speak needs to go away. And you need to replace that with slow to speak, with a soft answer. In Romans chapter 12, we see another place in the scriptures where it exhibits the same exact concept. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The scriptures often give us an answer for what they tell us that we shouldn't be doing. They often give us the answer to what we need to be replacing our corrupt speaking with. So I'm going to go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read those scriptures as in verse number 29 again. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. He says, you know, if you're someone who tells lies, if you're someone who doesn't speak the truth, if you're someone who's angry and sins, he says, instead of that, don't sin. He says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. When you're tempted to these things, when these are the things your mouth wants to say, when it's the things your heart wants to say, don't give place to the devil. Don't let these things happen. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Let him that stole steal no more. And then he gives the answer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. He says then, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but instead, he says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. He gives us the answer on what we need to say, on how we need to act, on the way our tongue needs to be handled. Verse number 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And he says, instead, be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. He gives us the answer. And in Romans chapter 12, he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. He tells us how we need to replace the corrupt talk. He tells us how we need to keep from having corrupt things in our mouth, from having corrupt things in our hearts. You have to replace them. Just like whenever you're baptized into Christ's body, you need to replace that old man with something. Whenever you come up out of the water, you replace it with the new creature. You replace it with something entirely different, entirely new. Now, our speech needs to be the same way. We need to put away that old way of speaking. We need to put away being quick to speak, being quick to angry, to being angry, to be quick to wrath. And we need to replace it with a slow answer. We need to replace it with not talking quickly, with thinking about what we say. We need to replace it with things that are holy. And finally, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ. I think we can, if we strive to do this, if we strive to speak the truth in love, it's gonna eliminate a lot of problems, isn't it? If you have this mindset that you need to come to people and you need to speak the truth to them, if you have the mindset that whenever you talk to somebody, you need to be talking to them in love, talking to someone as though you're going to have the influence on them that you do. Talk to them knowing that what you say is going to influence your relationship with them, your relationship with your family. The answers you have influence everyone around you. It influences the environment around you. And if we have the mindset that we are going to say the truth in love, if we have the mindset that we are going to try to edify each other, then I think we can all be better off. I think that it'll help us grow in oneness. It'll help us grow together, and it'll help us overall reach our final goal.